This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, April 19th.
Late Tuesday.
It's a late night edition of the Casual Tuesday podcast. Stephen, how are you?
I'm about to have some popcorn. That's how late it is.
Patrick Johnson here, of course. I'm downtown. Steve's in the beautiful Royal City where Steve lives. Fresh off, is this the first game of the year for the headliners?
The opener, opening season, I believe it was an 11-8 loss to our arch rivals, the Shockers.
Now, is it possible to say that the entire league are your arch rivals?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think we're pretty friendly.
Well, but I mean, it's beer league. Everything's friendly, but you know what I mean.
We have a solid squad.
This is true.
I recruit very well, which makes me look even less athletic.
Oh, come on, Steven. You're the captain. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
By the way, small compliment to you. I happen to see your profile photo, your new mugshot.
Okay.
You're the happiest guy in the world.
I'm pretty happy.
You look pretty pleased. So that will be...
I'm pretty... You know what? I'm excited about the future for the province and post media and all those things. I think I think we get a chance to really blaze the trail for the next generation.
Where do you think you'll be able to find your new mugshot?
Theprovince.com.
There you go. It's never a doubt. It's never a doubt.
There you go.
I do.
I think it's exciting times. I think it is.
It's true.
I think we got a chance to really go out and kind of set an agenda and do some new things. So I'm excited about that.
Did you happen to catch the exciting new times that I vaguely wrote about yesterday involving the Las Vegas expansion in the NHL? Is this something that you're thrilled about?
I think going to Vegas is in general for any major pro sport is a bad idea.
Because?
I'm just not a huge fan of the gambling aspect.
Yeah, fair enough. There's gambling everywhere now, though.
There's gambling everywhere, but that's the centerpiece, the mecca.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, I think I think you're treading on. I'm showing my age, but I think you're treading on some pretty dangerous territory by putting some pro teams there.
Well, you know, the truth is you are a cranky old man, so...
I do have a certain degree of crankiness, yes.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But
yes.
I did enjoy... Did you happen to catch the video that I included in the little story there?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was pretty funny how they told you exactly what's going to happen, but then tried to claim that that wasn't exactly what was going to happen.
Yes.
It was humorous.
Yeah.
Humorous. Anyway, my understanding is it's pretty dead set it's going to happen. So
it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. 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 I think it's going to happen. So, I mean, everything's pointing in that direction.
Yeah. Speaking of things happening, how's your fantasy team happening?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Trevor Story still ripping it up. Marcus Semien now ripping it up.
You're starting up the middle then.
It's a strong team. There's no denying. Doing well. Don't have any injuries. There's one guy in our league that has 7 players on the disabled list.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to make some tough choices, but that's definitely not a way to win your fantasy league. That's for sure.
I'm just looking at my main team right now. I've got 3 hitters, including AJ Pollock, and then 4 pitchers.
Yeah, he had Pollock was one of his guys. That's one of those ones where you're like, oh my god.
But yeah. We are a head to head league in this league, so I am I am still 2-0, so that's a very positive.
I'm just most happy that I finally got him this year. It's kind of a ridiculous. I mean, it's not a ridiculous pick, but it's, you know, I'm not getting him in his prime. Jason Wirth. Jason Wirth got me a home run
today.
So long time fan of Jason Wirth. Could have been a contender for tallest ever catcher in Major League Baseball, but the Blue Jays moved him away from that.
Yes.
And then, of course, traded him away.
Yes.
It's interesting
to look at where some guys started. You think of all the different guys that Dale Murphy was a catcher, and I think Willie Wilson was actually a catcher when he started.
Most guys are now going, "Who's Willie Wilson?" And there's a few guys going, "Oh, I know who Willie Wilson is, but
Brett Lurie was a catcher when he started. Is that better?
Yes. Well, I was going to say Russell Martin wasn't a catcher, but became a catcher.
Yes.
It's a good position. I used to be a catcher, so I appreciate guys like that. No, I was going to ask you. Actually, I meant to ask you before I moved off the Vegas thing. Did you note the other thing that Vegas seems to have solved? The hockey related. Well, they're going to have a projected logo from the ceiling. So conceivably, you could just have a switch, and that way, you know, there's never any problems with you know, intruding media standing on sacred sports teams logos on the floor.
That has always been an interesting one, hasn't it? I think I saw on Twitter today, and someone was saying that the Blackhawks actually have roped off their logo.
Oh, well, that's one way to do it. The other way to do it don't the Canucks actually put a cover over it, so it's just not
there's
an issue?
A cover over it. Yeah.
So it's just not an issue. You don't even think about it.
Yeah, I still a little bit that I'm in there, I try and stay off it.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I had no idea it was even there. So the one time I got to go to the dressing room this year, I definitely walked right across it. But I don't think I noticed it because there was a cover on it.
There you go.
You can probably tell what I think of the entire issue, so we're not going to go on with that. But speaking of your Canucks, two interesting topics from Mr. Kuzma, back-to-back, Travis Green.
Yep.
Which we talked about before. And then it's just gone up at problemsports.com, and I'm sure people are going all, if you will, a Twitter about it.
Yes.
Thatcher Demko, he spoke to Jim Benning about Thatcher Demko. Jim Benning speaks that he is confident. And I kind of read it as being Kuz sort of saying, well, yeah, he's going to sign. And then some guy from Boston College, Boston College sports blogger, say that 10 times fast. Yes. Tweeting out this evening, sources tell him, which clearly means Demko's drinking buddies, although they don't drink. They don't drink because they're underage. Demko is going to sign with Canucks. So, I mean, it seems like it's actually going to happen here. A bit of a word of relief, I guess, on that one. The Green question is a bit more of a challenging one, but we'll see how that one plays out.
I think if you look at Travis Green's pedigree of his time as a player, and you look at what he's done, He had some the first year with that AHL team was there wasn't a lot of names that I recognized, and he did very well with them. So I think someone's going to take a swing at him. I think
I think it's safe to say, and you know, clearly a guy you sort of it was interesting. It was interesting to hear sort of the commentary. I think especially was it last week when they did the final kind of interviews with the media.
Yeah.
That Canucks.com extravaganza where they get us to do all their work for them. But anyway, they asked them about Travis Green.
Sorry, Joey Kenwood.
Hey, Joey's great. Joey's not in on that, is he? I don't see Joey on that.
I don't know. I just know that Joey Kenwood is a devoted listener of
Joey is a hard. I know Joey works very hard and what's going on. That's me getting on the Botch train. Botch was talking about that on the podcast, and so is Mr. Pat himself. So I'm just following.
You just jumped on the angry Botch.
The fury train.
The fury train.
Anyway, they were asked about Travis. Exactly. They were asked about Green. And what, you know, what he was like to deal with. And they were all like, you know, good guy, great guy, you know, gets, you know, tells you how to be a pro and, you know, very organized. And they all said great things about him. And, you know, winning obviously helps a lot, but that is what he's in it for. So the fact that, as you said, he's won despite, no matter who he's had in the lineup, even this year's team hasn't been all that talented at times. And yet there they are in the mix.
It was the 2013-14 team that I was looking, I was thinking about it. That wasn't very good.
Yeah. Two seasons ago. Yeah.
Two seasons ago.
Or correct. Three seasons, whatever it is. But yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want to say.
Because last year's team, obviously.
But I mean, you forget that he's a guy that and I'm looking it up right now. 970 NHL regular season.
Oh yeah,
did some stuff.
And a guy who, you know, I mean, I remember. Didn't he have a holdout? Wasn't there a bit of a holdout at one point? I vaguely remember this. It was a contract.
I'm not there.
But he was one of those guys. He was a great example of a guy, like, you know, as you said, played 970 games because he was a very good hockey player. And
second rounder in 89 of the Islanders.
Yeah, second round pick. Just a solid hockey player. Now, what's going on here? He played 22 games. He got traded in 97 and 98 to Anaheim. That's right. No, just a good quality, like, of that era, kind of second line guy.
Yeah.
Could put up some goals, you know. Yeah, good player. Like, knew what he's doing, and he's coached. He's done well wherever he's been as a coach. He's done well.
Yeah, just reading about, looking at it now, there was a holdout with him when he was an Islander in 1996.
Is that what it was? Okay, so you have this vague memory of him appearing on Sports Talk with Dan Russell.
Well, there you go.
And them having a chat about what Travis was trying to do.
Okay.
And why he was holding out. Because local guy, isn't he? He's from Castlegar. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Anyway, good coach. Guys like him. Be interested to see how it plays out. Of course, everyone seems to feel that Willie will have a short leash going into next season, which stands to reason.
Well, I mean, you wonder if they don't try and get Travis promoted here as an assistant with the idea that he's waiting in the wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'll be an interesting one. They've already got. Well, I was going to say they already got two. I mean, they've got three assistant coaches here already, though. I guess that's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what they do with things, right? And they could easily find some. They could do a shuffle and find room for him somehow. Mm-hmm. If that's the guy you want as your next guy,
right?
You would figure it out,
right? Right. Yeah.
Gullickson as well has had head coaching experience in the NHL. That could be their option, but. You really get that's my gut, is that Willie's going to have a short, you know, that if things don't go well off the start next year, that he could be in harm's way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As for Demko, you know, it, assuming he's about to sign, that really is a relief for Jim Benning, isn't it?
Oh, that would, if they got in any sort of issue with him, I think that would be horrendous. I think that would further be yet another, you know, a problem with them. I don't see why he wouldn't sign here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance that, you know, he's there, that you know, with Ryan Miller aging and Markstrom kind of where he is, there's a chance that he could come in here and be kind of pushed through the system.
Mm. I think it's a smart spot for him to be in. You know, I mean, they've got Richard Backman under contract for another year. And so, you know, sort of solid veteran guy that, you know, knows his role and would be a good guy to probably work with Demko just about kind of how to be, you know, the guy that's down the list for the time being and how to deal with that mentally. You know, a solid organization in Utica, a solid town of people that love their team. That support you through thick and thin. That would probably, you know, that would be a good spot for him. And, you know, everyone seems to think that, you know, we'll see what happens with Dan Kluche, but that Dan Kluche's work, with the minor league goalies, especially, and I guess with some of the prospects, has been really solid as well. That, you know, that, don't underrate Dan Kluche's, work with Jacob Markstrom, I believe is, you know, I think I've heard, you know, Botch mentioned, for instance, but, that, you know, that from a development standpoint and being able to make a step up, it certainly is it's a nice smooth transition. And as you mentioned, you know, if he does so well in 1 year, I mean, if we remember the Schneider plan, it wasn't like he just took 1 year in the AHL, but you know, if you want to look at a similar player from a decade ago that you kind of take it easy and you let him build up his time. And you know, I think as we discussed last week, you kind of find yourself a Raycroft type player to go with Markstrom for another season. And then, you know, so that buys you next season, the season after that for Demko in the AHL. And then all of a sudden you're ready to kind of slide Demko in, and Markstrom all of a sudden is getting older and you're ready to flip those two again.
Completely. I think if there's one spot you're not worried about, and with this organization, assuming that Demko is signing, is its goal. Is they seem to have a line of succession kind of mapped out, which is completely different than the situation both with the forwards and the defense.
It's one among many things. My other thing for you, we've got lots of things we can talk about, but I was sort of saying, I said this in the morning skate. I really think if the Canucks win the draft lottery, they have to turn around and go to Arizona and say, "Hey, you guys want Austin Matthews?" And they will say, "Absolutely." And then you'll say, "We would like Oliver Ekman Larson." And then, and then you're starting to feel a bit better about this Canucks team, I think.
Oh, it's true. And again, I think, As important as goaltending is in this league, I think that the teams that seem to be winning over the lot of this generation are teams that have a Norris Trophy candidate. And that's something you can argue that the Vancouver Canucks have never had. As good as Oland was, as good as Lemay was in his time, they were never the ultra elite guys. As good as Edler and Tanev are, they wouldn't be in your first five or six defense picks if you could pick any defenseman in the league. I think you need to find one of those guys. I think that's the real key to having a elite team, is having a guy that can play 27, 28, 29 minutes at crunch time and be out there in all sorts of different situations. And Ekman Larson, that guy, he's more of that guy than anything you've got now.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the defense thing, and we've talked about it before, but it really, and if we want to put that in context, you know, Dan Hamhuis played in the Olympics and was, the down the list guy. And there were a lot of guys ahead of him that you would say are clear Norris Trophy candidates. And then, Edler obviously has played for Sweden before, and Olin obviously played for Sweden before, but really, that's your list. You could squeeze Sammy Salo on there, I suppose, but Sammy Salo obviously was never seen as being a first unit guy. He was a guy that made the rest of your team work. Jovo had his defensive issues and was an interesting guy.
He was a second tier guy.
Right? Like another, these are all guys you want in your team.
If you're being truly honest, he was never do you want to say a top 10 defenseman in the league? Like he was maybe in his heyday was maybe a 10 to 20, right?
Yeah. Like good players, guys you want on your team. But as you said, they're not that 100%.
Chicago's got Duncan Keith.
Yeah, they're not that horse.
Tampa Bay, Edmund, Detroit when they were winning was Lidstrom, right?
Yeah.
Pronger, wherever he went, Chara, when Boston was kind of all that. I mean, they had these Norris Trophy guys, and I think that's something they need to find. Do I automatically pick a defenseman now if I'm drafting? No, considering where they might be drafting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a great question. Are they deeper on defense or deeper at forward now, right? I could probably argue both ends of that.
Or which are they more desperate,
Same question.
Yeah. 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 It's going to be interesting. So you're in agreement with me, though, that if you have a chance to pick up a guy like Ekman Larson and by trading, Austin Matthews, that you just do it and don't even worry about it?
I think so. I think with the makeup of this club, I don't know if you have a number one center, a true number one center, but if you get a chance to get a number one defenseman, and you have a Horvat, McCann, I still think Brandon Sutter's a useful guy longer term. Obviously, you know, obviously you're going to have Henrik Sedin for the next couple of years at the very least. I think you go take that swing to get your number one D-man or something closer to a true A1 D-man.
I just go with the standpoint that finding that number one defenseman is a lot harder than finding the number one centerman. But of course, finding number one centerman is pretty hard itself. So that tells you how hard it is to find the number one defenseman. And, that's why I point to,
I do. I mean, as much as this club has trouble scoring and looks like it's going to have trouble scoring long term with the Sedins not getting any younger, I think my number one building block would be a top pairing blue line.
Moving along, you wrote a neat little story about the BC Sports Hall of Fame. They're got a little 50 moments, and they're basically running a bracket and they're trying to figure out what our best BC sports history moment is. You kind of set things up. I thought it was kind of a neat little concept.
Yeah, no, I think it's fun. I think any sort of those fan things is a lot of fun. It was interesting to see where they seeded things, and you know, have the Miracle Mile where it is, and have the Sidney Crosby goal, and you know, have the Miracle Mile seeded one, the Sidney Crosby 2010 goal at number two, and have the Terry Fox's initial run at number three. I think. You know, it's gonna be hard. You know, there's some emotional ties there, and you know, to see, depending on the age of their voters, to see, you know, which way people go. I think it's gonna be really interesting.
Interesting indeed. Yeah,
it's hard to vote against Terry. It's hard to not vote for Terry Fox.
That's like one of those ones. Would you like to be the guy that says no?
Yes. Yeah. and particularly as a guy with a cancer history, I think that's an emotional one for me. I as great as the Landry moment was, and mm-hmm. you know, I the Crosby moment is something that this generation particularly is going to have a tie to what Terry Fox did, and just that the symbolism I think is remarkable.
It's, I mean, you've sort of identified some of the sort of, I guess, the ones that we would put in the pantheon, and it is a pretty amazing thing to think about what, you know, the number of things that have happened in this town, as you mentioned. I mean, it just, you know, you'll
or tied to this town. I mean, he never got to the point where he ran here, but
But yeah, I mean, the history of BC athletics is long and interesting and varied. I mean, you mentioned Fox, you mentioned the Crosby goal. You know, we can go all the way back to the Miracle Mile, and
think about the Cyclone Taylor, and you think about I mean the one that I just reading where, you know, where they were Silken Lauman in Barcelona after, who had been hurt I think 10 weeks before. And coming back and rowing and you know, getting a bronze medal, that kind of tugs at the heartstrings, and you wonder how that's going to kind of appeal to people. So that's my underdog one. I think that's the one I think is may knock off a couple of the seeded ones, because that's a at large berth basically that they're going to have play out the first round.
Right. Last thing I want to mention, of course, we haven't talked about them in a while, but your old friends out in Langley, the Vancouver Stealth, barely in the playoff mix, a 4-11 team,
hanging on. They've got a lot of work to do, and they're going to need some help. But you know, they're still hanging on. Fun night last week. They did. Tyler Richards for them. For me, has been phenomenal. The goalie who didn't look like he was going to play this year and came out of a self-imposed retirement to play has been fabulous, and made two or three big stops kind of in the waning seconds with Calgary on the power play that really saved that game for them and essentially saved their playoff hopes. So they've got Saskatchewan on Saturday. Saskatchewan is the old Edmonton team. They're drawing great numbers in Saskatoon. So it's They need to win that. They need to win out. They also need to have Calgary lose to Toronto at home on the last week of the season to advance into the playoffs for the first time in their 3 years based out of the LEC.
Well, we'll revisit that when the time comes, I suppose.
Yeah, and I had some interesting chats about whether or not the Vancouver Giants will be rooming with them starting in the fall. I think there's still a lot of people that believe that's going to happen. Last time I talked to the Giants people, they said that they wouldn't have a decision to, you know, they were hoping to announce something at the end of the month. So
it will be interesting to watch indeed. Steve, are you ready for the Sunday barbecue?
You go first.
Really?
Do you want me to go first?
Well, no, I'm ready to go.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. As I noted in my morning skate yesterday.
Where can you find the morning skate?
Provincesports.com.
You know what? I've been paying attention to a lot of our readership numbers. The morning skate is doing very well of late.
It's a very solid little product. People enjoy it. They know what's going on.
Yes.
It's a bit of an agenda item. We do have an email alert on it so people can look at it every day.
And there you go.
If you have never noticed it, it's down at the bottom. You can subscribe and it'll land in your inbox and you don't even have to, look for it.
This little product here.
Yeah. Anyway, I noted in the skate that yesterday was, of course, as they call it in Boston, Patriots Day.
Yes.
And people don't know, I lived in Boston for a year when I was a kid, so I do have a bit of an affinity for the town. So, when the Boston bombings happened, I was, first of all, still sort of freelancing and was just, had nothing better to do with my time. So there I was reading about the big chase and tweeting away and following along. And it was kind of this amazing thing when they were tracking down the Tsarnaev brothers and immensely emotional reading about all the various victims and things like that, because I know the place and in a different lifetime, perhaps even couldn't have been there. So I wrote a bit. I mean, that's why I'm always kind of, the last couple of years I've been happy to mention it in the skate anyway. And, of course, the Boston Marathon happens on Patriot Day. It's I don't even know what it would be, the third Monday of every, April. Anyway, I just wanted to mention, I'm going to invite Patrick Downs, who is an interesting guy. Patrick lost part of his leg in the Boston bombing. His wife lost her both her legs, and the two of them have run together. They've done on wheelchairs. They've hand pedaled the last last 2 years. And then this year he ran it on a prosthetic leg, which was pretty cool.
There you go.
So he seems like a pretty good guy. He's a doctor.
There you go.
And they seem like very happy, positive people. So I'd like to invite the Downses to our Sunday barbecue.
Well, in line with that, Scott Rintel of 1040 fame, who was a buddy of mine, was
and a headliner.
He is a headliner as well. He is part of our softball team.
And I've played against him in his other 1040 team, whatever, in the Urban Rec. So
it was a 1040 team, or was it his wife's team or something?
It was his wife's. Maybe it was his wife's team. I thought it had something to do with 1040, but maybe they just had.
I'm not 100% sure.
It was quite humorous.
But Scott and I we've talked about this a lot, but when I was sick in 2010, he was one of the guys that was a huge help for me, and a guy that kind of coaxed me into doing the ride to Conquer, and a guy that I, was very instrumental in me even having the guts to do it, and has been a huge, huge part of me getting better. He was in Boston running the marathon when the bombing happened, and that was, it was terrifying for me. That's a guy that I admire greatly and I consider one of my closest friends was there, and I know that and Fiona's wife was there, and that was an emotional day for me. So I think I will invite the Rintouls over.
Nice.
And we can I'm sure they would be fascinated to talk to your guy. And we can hang out, and Rintoul eats steak like no other man I've ever met. And he's a smaller dude, and he can pound steak away. So he is a good guy to have at your barbecue.
Well, you know, that's what it is.
There's a little rental fact that I don't think people will realize. He was, this is going back, I this is before I got married, so we're going back maybe 10, 15 years, and had him over for steak, and it was supposed to be, you know, four of us, and it ended up being two of us, but I had the steaks marinating, so we threw them on the barbecue anyway. And the first steaks were so good that I was trying to figure out a way to sneak one of the backup steaks without him noticing. And he just busted out. He goes, "Ewan, I don't care what you say. I'm grabbing one of these other steaks." And we both wolfed down two, you know, big steaks and watched some basketball on the TV. So it was a pretty good night.
I was going to say, he is one of the few people who could possibly outsports you.
He is one of the few. I don't know about that, but I think a lot of people can outsport me. I don't think a lot of people could outstake me, and he could do it.
Yeah. Okay. I will give you that.
And he's a smaller guy, so his steak consumption maybe is my most impressive kind of thing about Rintoul.
Well, the more you know. There's Botch's Fury and Rintoul's steak consumption. It's
there you go.
A hell of a show. Nice shout out to Joey Kenward. You know, everything's happening.
Anything we should say to B.B. Lee?
Well, he's
Jordan Bateman,
the game changer.
The game, yes.
Yeah, we haven't heard from those guys in a while. Huh. Hope they're well.
Maybe we need to invite them to the barbecue as well.
Well, they're always welcome.
There you go. Yeah, there's kind of a standing invite to both of them.
All right, folks, Steve is on Twitter at Steve Ewan. I'm, of course, at Rising Action. You can find us all over the place at problemsports.com, at problemsports.com/radio for all our podcasts. And if you search in iTunes, we're there as well. Just search for Problem Sports. Steven.
Thank you, sir.
See you next week.
Got you.